God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in DC, let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created our world, his world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He could have done all of that. Instead, God spoke the world into existence. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in the world, mindful, though, that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. The chances of Donald Trump getting a fair trial in Washington, D.C. are nil. It is a town that is built upon itself. It's self-interest, it's aggrandizement of itself. And you cannot make a statement like that without recognizing there are human beings there who somehow continue to maintain their souls and continue to maintain grounding. They do exist. I know some of them. And I felt my soul slipping away when I worked in Washington, D.C. And part of that is the seduction of the town. And God rescued me from that. Thank God for that. But gosh, it's a very tempting place. Easy money and easy other things. The judge who is hearing the Jack Smith case, this is one of the many cases against President Trump. This is the federal case. Rudy Giuliani and others are attempting to get the Georgia case rolled up into a federal case. Judge Chutkan has picked this date. You've heard this. Just randomly decided to pick the trial date of March 4th, 2024. And that's an interesting date because Alabama, Alaska, American Samoa, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, and Virginia have a primary on March 4th. It's a political trial. And there's a Russian author, Kafka, and there's this phrase, Kafkaesque. And I went through a phase in life where I just loved Russian novels. I still do. I just don't have the time to read them. And Kafka wrote about the Soviet court system, the broken communist court system, where you could be brought to trial. And your first question would be, what are the charges? And the judge of the tribunal could say, well, that just proves you're guilty. I mean, if you're going to sit here and pretend you don't know what the charges are, well, then you're obviously a liar. And the phrase Kafkaesque was born. So from the very beginning, the picking of the trial date would indicate that this is, in fact, going to be a political trial. We know this to some degree, but it gets worse. This judge who's going to hear this case, and her full name is, well, the title is U.S. District Court Judge Tanya S. Chutkan, has already made up her mind. Julie Kelly, writing in Real Clear Investigations, and Julie has done an incredible amount of work on January 6th, what happened there, and the involvement of the federal government in making that worse. There's just absolutely no doubt that the federal government decided to make this worse, starting with the refusal to have extra security, 10,000 National Guard troops, as President Trump had offered. The refusal of Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, they didn't want that. The D.C. mayor didn't want that. Then up to and including the involvement of federal agents and agitators within the crowd. And up to and including undercover DC cops who actually helped people up the scaffolding to break into the Capitol and actually urged them to do this. But this judge has made up her mind. Her mind is that the election was absolutely without question. There are no questions about this election. To question it, she seems to suggest, is a crime in and of itself. In fact, if you look at the heart of this case, that's really what this is about, which makes it much more of a political trial. She's also been responsible, and she brags about this, for putting January 6 participants behind bars for longer times than even the prosecutors had asked for. In one case, a completely nonviolent guy was in the Capitol for about 12 minutes. And she decided to sentence him to far longer than the prosecutors wanted. She has made up her mind that everybody there was blindly loyal to President Trump, had absolutely no connection to the Constitution, and that if you buy anything, if you have any questions about the elections, that's only because you have been conned by President Trump. And she's made up her mind that he fomented at what she seems to think is an insurrection, was an insurrection. And all of this comes from court records. These things are not in question. This guy that she sentenced 63 months for this guy who was inside the Capitol for 12 minutes. His name is Matthew Mazzocco. And she was a public defender in Washington, D.C., which is one of the prior to becoming a judge in Washington, D.C., which should give her some insights into that day in context, Washington, D.C. being one of the most violent cities in the United States. And she, as a public defender, having seen a series of violent criminals that she was caused to defend. Well, that was her duty to defend. But January 6th apparently stands alone for her in importance. We'll talk more about her role as a public defender because it plays into some of the reasons that people are deeply, deeply suspicious of this trial, including me. The assertion that this was like Pearl Harbor and 9/11 rolled into one is a farce on its face. But the very notion that this is the act of disorder that is the one we must focus all of our energies on, when we can look at two samples, and it's literally one day of news from one of the West Coast countries, a separate countries, literally one day of news. So we'll get into that. The heart of this case for many is, was the election stolen? I can tell you without reservation, it was rigged. It was rigged from the COVID is the election to the election is COVID to forced mail-in voting to the changing of the rules such a short time before the election to changing it to forced mail-in voting, which Democrats have salivated over since the separate country of Washington showed them here's exactly how you use it to steal an election. And there is no question, absolutely no question, that the election of Chris Gregoire, the former governor of Washington State, so-called, there is no question it was stolen. The evidence is locked. And I don't have time to go through that all, but I'll just give you an example. They kept counting until they won. That's literally what they did. They kept counting until they won. And it was so absurd that on the third recount, just before the third recount, a Democrat operative, or pardon me, a very careful nonpartisan vote counter said, oh gosh, you know what? Oh my gosh, all this time, I forgot. I've got a bunch of ballots in the trunk of my car. Oh, darn, I can't believe I forgot that. And fortuitously enough, those ballots won the election for Chris Gregoire. It was just enough ballots. So since that's happened, Democrats have been wanting this in place. So they changed the rules to make that happen. That's rigging, and there's much more to it. But at the heart of this as well, is this claim that the voting machines were above question, above reproach. They never have been. This is Representative Jerry Nadler, who now, of course, says President Trump is part of the big lie. This is back in 2004.
If, in fact, someone were deliberately hacking these machines, you could steal millions of votes and no one would know it. And that's why the methodology is problematic. Now, there's no evidence that happened, but you can't prove it didn't either. And you can't prove it won't next time. And that's why we have to have a paper trail. We've documented, any number of people have documented a machine in this county that recorded 11,000 extra votes for Bush. In that county that was counting Kerry votes for Bush, people who pushed touched Kerry's name would come up Bush, and they touched it again, and it would come up Bush, and they touched it a third time, and finally got it right. And all kinds of things like this. One machine, when we say one machine, these are large machines, like a half a county, apparently. After it reached 3,000 votes total, every time you voted for Bush, it subtracted one instead of added one. When you pushed Kerry, it subtracted one instead of adding one. And all these instances where they were caught. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been reported. They were caught, presumably corrected. The question, obviously, is how many instances were not caught that we don't know about? And what, if any, impact did that have on the election, if not for president, then for county commissioner or congressman or whatever?
So there was a time when Jerry Nadler had calm conversations. There was a time when many Democrats and many others recognized the fact that if it can be coded, it can be hacked.
Virginia just stopped using touchscreen computer voting because it's so vulnerable.
Right.
We need to look at all the voting machines. Every Secretary of State needs to be, you know, assisted in making sure that they are not being hacked and attacked.
But they can't be assisted because many of these companies hide the tapes of the records and reformat these machines so you can't go see what happened. That's just at the core of this. And this judge has decided that President Trump caused an insurrection. He called for it. She apparently ignores his statement to proceed peacefully and patriotically. She has decided the election is absolutely above reproach. She has also said to the Trump defense, you're not going to get enough time to read 12.4 million pages of evidence. She's told them you should have already read it. She's praised Jack Smith for putting together his prosecutorial evidence in such a short period of time. He has an unlimited budget. If he wants more money, he takes more money. This is one of the ways that the process is the punishment, that the federal trial is often about bankrupting you. But the judge has said to Trump's attorneys, well, you should have been reading this. And the attorney said, I wasn't on the case. I should have been reading this knowing somehow that I was going to be on the case because I wasn't on the case, Your Honor. She also said, look, it's never been a secret your guy's going to get indicted. So you should have been reading all of this. And the attorney quite reasonably said, but wait a minute. We didn't know what the charges were going to be. We didn't have any idea what the theory of the case was. And they want the trial in 2026. Now, obviously, they want it after the election. This judge clearly wants it on the day that will be most problematic to the election. I mentioned the fact that she was she used to be a public defender in Washington, D.C., one of the most violent places in the United States. Well, she's also part of a movement, I think, of activist judges who think that the court system is simply about punishing political enemies, not about keeping law and order. These are just two stories from some of her thought mates, ideological mates in the separate country of Seattle. A father was found by police to have been sexually assaulting his 12-year-old daughter since she was 9. He was arrested and then charged. Prosecutors wanted him held on a $250,000 bond bail. A judge said, nah, that's too much. 10 grand. He's out. There's a man charged with starting a massive fire in what are euphemistically called homeless camps in Seattle. What they are is sex trafficking and drug sales camps. That's actually what they are. He started a massive fire that could have burned down a good portion of Seattle because of where it was located. He's been allowed to walk free. No bail. But I want you to know that they gave him a stern talking to. He's not allowed to go back to that encampment. I'm sure he'll keep by that. Because people who are drug-addled and have given themselves drug-induced psychoses, they're often very good at following rules, right? Oh, on the topic of rules, the National Archive has 5,400 emails related to Joe Biden, but not under his name. No, they're under the name of one of his aliases. But Mo Rana, Democrat representative, wants you to remember this.
The American people know the feds. Joe Biden, there's not a single shred of evidence that a single payment went to President Biden.
Yeah, except that Hunter said that he paid all of Joe Biden's bills. This is A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll continue. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman, and this morning in devotional time, I was reading Revelation 21. I want to address this a little later on in the program about the new earth. And I also read from the C.S. Lewis Foundation an article from Randy Acorn about the new earth and about his views on that and C.S. Lewis's descriptions of that. And Lewis, of course, was a genius. And Acorn is no intellectual slouch either. And this stands to me in kind of bright comparison to what so many are attempting to build on this earth. And it is a very, it's not shocking, but it is it's a sharp contrast. You know, I read about the new earth and I read about the perfect justice and the kingdom of heaven coming down to literally God with us, Emmanuel, to dwell with us, to bring heaven to this renewed earth. And it's interesting sometimes, I'm blessed, and maybe you get this too, where I wake up, and it happens rarely, gosh, I wish it happened more, but I wake up with scripture on my mind or a scriptural statement. This morning, upon waking, and I woke up at 2:50 a.m. West Coast, and I looked at my watch wrong. I thought, wow, I really slept in. It's 4:50 in the morning. I got to get up. I slept the day away. And so I had some caffeine. And then I looked at my watch again. I have a watch that tells me what it thinks my training status is for exercising. I was just curious what it said. I felt good. I thought it's 100%. I saw that it was not yet 3:00 in the morning and I just had caffeine. And I tried to go back to sleep, but when I woke, and it failed, but when I woke, I had the phrase, you renew all things. In my mind, you renew all things, you make all things new. And that got me to thinking about, where did that come from? You renew all things, and that's what led me this morning to decide to go read about the new earth. And the contrast to this is organizations and human beings who work for or are owned by organizations and are pursuing the ultimate in sinful fleshly desire, which is absolute control over other human beings, and doing that just based on blatant lies. And they think that they're constructing. What do they think they're constructing? I think that they think they're constructing the new earth. Not in a spiritual sense, because many of them don't recognize that they're atheists or that they are operating on behalf of the enemy. Some of them do recognize that. And that's you can spend some time trying to figure that out. Because we know there are people who worship Satan because they say it. And there's others who don't say it. So we can reason that there are people who do that and that there's people in power who do that. So I am very thankful for leaders who will speak out, not on a, well, unfortunately not on a spiritual sense, but in a sense of reality as to what has actually gone on under cover of COVID, which they're trying to bring back. You know this. And I'll play some audio related to this because it's not just they're trying to bring it back. It's that so many people are absolutely desperate to have it back, to have this sense of meaning back, because that's their building of the new earth. That's their building of what they think of as heaven on earth. And to them, heaven on earth is absolute complete control over everybody, but they can't control themselves. We are not able to control ourselves. We know this about the sin state. So one of those politicians or leaders who is actually calling this out, and she does this pretty well and consistently, is a member of European Parliament. Her name is Christine Anderson. And this is a rather long clip for radio, but I think it's important to play in whole. And she talks about what happened during COVID. Well, see, that phrase in and of itself is a propaganda phrase. It's not during COVID. It was during the lockdown, the response, the use of this virus. And by the way, there's no such thing as during COVID because they never want the COVID era to end. So she talked with American thought leaders the Epoch Times.
It pretty soon occurred to me, this has nothing to do with public health. It has nothing to do with breaking any waves. It was always about breaking people. That's what they were trying to do. They simply wanted to see how far can they go, how far would the people allow them, you know, to take away their fundamental rights.
Now, by the way, I'll stop that for a second. Tony Fauci recognized this. I have audio of Fauci actually recognizing that, well, at a certain point, you've gone too far. A lot of this is about what will people tolerate. He effectively admitted that. Yeah, we'll have to play that someday. But now that we're entering back into, they're going to amp COVID back up in preparation for the election, and that they deeply want to control all human beings, your movements, your thoughts, what you're allowed to read. They want to have powers God himself does not give himself. This is them constructing their idea of the new earth.
And we've been seeing that. And once there were people that said, no, you know, we're not going to mask up. We're not going to, you know, get this mRNA shot. Then they really bashed down on these people.
Now, if you think about this, and from, you know, reading the book of Revelation, if you think about this from a Christian perspective, this is not the mark of the beast, because the mark of the beast is going to be very, very open. But is this not a trial run? You don't think Satan takes dry runs? You don't think that he's building a political party? He's the first politician. Satan is the first politician. First one to set up special interest groups and wedge issues. That's what he did. First one to break the angels, some of the angels apart from God Almighty. And with what? With a false promise. Right? And he has his dominion, but he has to know where his dominion ends, or he's just completely self-deluded. So they're building their new earth, but to have complete control over others. And yes, it seems to me to be a dry run. Hey, let's just take a practice shot. Let's start building our political party now.
Threaten them, you know, with their livelihoods. You are no longer allowed to go to work. You're no longer are allowed to ride on a bus. Then there were talks about if you do not get this mRNA shot, well, guess what? You will have to pay for your medical treatment yourself, because you brought it on yourself. And, you know, then they even were contemplating not to treat unvaccinated people at all.
Okay, so that's happened. It still happens. They just killed a woman in Canada because she refused to get injected. They just refused her a life-saving transplant. I think we talked about that this week. So that's still happening. That hasn't stopped in the least. Sometimes they get caught and public pressure rains down, such as the case they tried to kill a little girl, 14. That was in the United States because she wasn't injected. And I think she actually got treated at another medical center. So Christine Anderson, member of European Parliament, continues.
And this is the kind of stuff that totalitarianism is actually made of. Ostracizing people, scapegoating people.
There we go. Ostracizing and scapegoating. Exactly right. So what is the other reason that this party of totalitarianism, this party that is, in my judgment, just ultimately spiritually owned, why are they, what's the other reason that they're bringing back COVID? Well, they're focusing on it again. We'll talk about that in a second from the streets of Vancouver. But just keep that in mind. Why are they doing it now? What's the other end of this goal?
Ridiculing them. I mean, one high-functioning German politician even went so far as to saying unvaccinated people should not be allowed to celebrate Christmas at all. I mean, can you imagine? That's the level we were talking about.
Right. And it's the level many are still talking about, but they're whispering, but not everybody. This is from the streets of Vancouver, Canada. Now, if you don't know Vancouver, Canada, gosh, it used to be a beautiful city. Used to be. Stanley Park is one of the most amazing urban parks in the world. The Gastown District in Vancouver was a fun little old town type district. North Vancouver had these beautiful homes overlooking the city. It's been so trashed. There are parts of Vancouver that look like the set of The Walking Dead, because it's where they've in Canada, and this is confirmed, where George Soros helped pay to give out heroin. And not just needles, but they give out heroin. And it is like a set of The Walking Dead with zombies walking around. So in that city where people are dying of record high overdoses, record high infections via needle, right? The concern with some people is they want masks back. So they had an event promoting mandatory masks, and it turned out they decided to physically assault a man.
So stay here with us, and let's continue. And let's continue to...
Hey.
They take this guy to the ground and they're pounding him in the face, and it's about 5-on-1. He was unmasked. Now, in that particular clip, I couldn't see that he was saying anything. He just had a sign they didn't like. So the party that wants to protect everybody by forcing a mask on their face is a party that also wants to go attack people for not wearing a mask on their face. What can Satan do? Can he create? Can he experience joy or love? Nope. He can distract. He can depress. He can distort. He can attempt to destroy. He can divide. What was the first trick? To divide man from God. Well, no, the first trick was to divide the angels from God and then to divide man from God. First trick, based upon a lie. Based upon his concept of the new earth, his lying concept. Surely you won't die. You'll just be like God. The same lie continues. Hey, when you force people to cover their face with a useless piece of cloth that is far more likely to make them sick than to save them from anything, you've achieved a small g godlike status, haven't you? Which brings us to the comparison between the false masking. It's not false masking. The masking is real, but it has no helpful of benefit. Is the same thing as the now they're coming back with the same exact scare line they had during the last election. That what are we actually fighting? It's not the decline of our country. It's not our debt, our deficit. It's not our open borders. It's not the absolute obvious attack on our culture through the Cultural Revolution. It's not an attack on our kids' minds and souls. It's not an attack on any of that. It's not about public corruption. It's about one thing, the figurehead Biden.
To the point where the intelligence community is determined, the U.S. intelligence community is determined that domestic terrorism rooted in white supremacy is the greatest terrorist threat we face in the homeland. The greatest threat.
Well, gosh, if the intelligence services says so. Well, then we know we can trust that. Because the intelligence services, well, they're dispassionate givers of the law. Remember, there was a Democrat representative who said that it is the job of the intelligence services to keep our democracy in check. That they hold government to account. That's the intelligence services? Spies. That's their job in the constitutional structure? It's not. So the masks are a division tool. They're an emotional manipulation tool. And people who deeply, deeply need meaning or are deeply in fear. And what does Satan do to people? He wants to scare them often. Fear is a great tool. Fear, greed, lust. These things are old as day with him. And fear, we're told many times in the Bible, do not fear. We have a God that cares for us. We know we have victory in the end. Satan, on the other hand, says, you only have this. They're going to kill you if they don't mask up. So it's once again a division tool. And I know that's in Canada, but they're trying to do the same thing here. So when Biden comes out and pretends that the number one threat to the nation, and you can define terrorism many ways, the actual definition is violence against a civilian base in order to affect a political outcome. That's the actual definition. And he contends that it's white supremacy. Well, remember, this is the same government that put up fences around his installation, pretending that there was armies of white supremacists crouched outside D.C. And well, here's what I mean by pretending. The alleged killer in North Carolina is being described as a mostly white Asian male. Mostly white. He went to the Wuhan Institute, which some people find interesting. But we are now being told, just like we were with George Zimmerman, which is he was a white Hispanic. They're now applying the new meaning of white, which is murderer. Mostly white Asian male. We have been given the Jacksonville Killer's manifesto. We've got that. And his manifesto was, apparently, was taken in by the enemy to hate his brother, to hate his neighbor, rather. And that was, he decided to hate black people. He was mentally ill or oppressed by Satan to hate black people. And so he made the decision to go kill black people. Now, we don't talk about crimes where black people make the same decision, perhaps for the same reason, mental illness or falling under the influence of the enemy. That's not to be talked about. But we have his manifesto. Boom, it's released. Do you remember, gosh, this is ancient history. It's almost 6 months ago. When a young woman who'd been conned into the lie of trans ideology went into a church school and murdered a bunch of people, including kids. That's weird. We don't have her manifesto. Although it's quite common in the so-called trans community to say, use our pronouns or we'll kill you. Very common. And we were told that that manifesto is simply too dangerous to be released. Well, how could that be? We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling. This is The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman, and normally I loathe speaking in anything that is cliche. And yet sometimes cliches capture so quickly something that's why they become cliches. They're useful. None are so blind as those who refuse to see. Just yesterday, I praised the Associated Press's reporting about the facts in Maui and the fact that Lahaina residents were blocked in to the fire zone. The southern exit being blocked and officers being told to turn those people back into the fire. Effectively, people who ignored that directive lived, and effectively people who obeyed that directive died. It's a brutal reality, and the Associated Press did a good job at that. But they don't always do that. In fact, it's very common for them to present articles like we're going to just study here. And it is what the AP says happened, and then I will play for you what actually happened. So you can judge, did the Associated Press report anything of the nature of this debate that has to do with a guy who's very, very good and will make a lot of appearances, very, very good at babbling, and he will make a lot of appearances here as we remind ourselves that God values words. We talk about that a lot in the program. It's one of the themes in the program. And God has very, very often put world bosses on stages to allow us to see what fools they actually are. Sometimes it was in debate with the Lord Jesus, who never lost a debate, never will. Sometimes it was Nebuchadnezzar out in the field eating grass. Sometimes it's people speaking nonsense.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Babbling for us today is Ellen Nickmeyer at the Associated Press. And this is an older piece. It's July 13, 2023. Just came to my attention as I was looking at John Kerry and looking at his history of babbling about climate change and global warming and acid rain. And she writes in this piece, and then I'm going to play for you what actually happened. U.S. climate envoy John Kerry defended his negotiations with China and angrily rebuffed what he called a stupid lie that he routinely travels by private jet during a grilling by House Republicans on Thursday before he set out on his next climate mission to Beijing. So right away, the babbling begins. John Kerry sat and passively defended himself against a stupid lie that he routinely travels by private jet. That's a knowable fact. Does he routinely travel by private jet? Now, you could play with the word routinely. You could say, in fact, here's how often he travels by private jet. But they didn't do that, because that would present the fact that it is rather routine. She writes, the questioning in Thursday's hearing by House Republican-led Foreign Affairs Committee Oversight Committee underscored the risks for Kerry that rising tensions between the two rival countries will stymie progress in what scientists stress are essential cuts in fossil fuel emissions over the next decade. So let's start with this. Scientists don't stress anything. She uses the phrase, what scientists stress. No, what some scientists think and express, and some of them stress. There's a group of thousands of climate scientists who say, no, there is nothing wrong with the climate, and other scientists, atmospheric scientists and geologists, as we played yesterday. And then she gets to this. Republicans' questioning of Kerry on his climate diplomacy at times broke down into challenging the existence of the scientifically established fact of climate change and openly insulted the former Secretary of State, who's a longtime target of political hardliners. So Kerry is not a political hardliner. A guy who says that American farms must be remade, must be forced to innovate, just the same way that farms in Netherlands have been forced to innovate by killing and not selling, but killing off herds because, of course, the herds are changing the climate. But Bill Gates's fake meat factories won't. So he's not a hardliner. And then the established fact of climate change. Yes, it is established that the climate on Earth has changed for a millennium, but here's where we get to the meat of the babbling. In the most heated confrontation, Republican Scott Perry accused Kerry of drumming up a problem that doesn't exist in global warming. When Kerry asked why the world scientists and the 195 global governments behind the Paris Climate Accord would make up global warming, Perry responded, because they're grifting like you are, drawing gasps from lawmakers. That's interesting, because she skipped a part of the debate. She skipped a four-minute debate, because she didn't want you to hear the four-minute debate. I won't play all 4 minutes because it's not necessary. I will play part of that.
Secretary, you probably know that for approximately 200 million years, what's the parts per million now? About 400, right? Can we
it's
agree
on
that?
It's over 400.
All right.
It's about
200 million years. 2,000 parts per million. Did Mother Nature get it wrong for 200 million years?
Here's the difference, Congressman. The difference is, yes, there were periods which all the scientists who deal with climate acknowledge that there have been moments on the planet, which is billions of years old, in which there were greater heat and there was greater...
Tell me the difference, quickly. I've got a little
bit of time. The difference is human beings are creating
this. Okay,
so... That's the difference.
So human beings are...
We are creating
100,000 years old, but during these periods of time where it was 2,000 parts per million, life existed. As a matter of fact, we're in one of the lowest periods.
Not human beings walking around.
We're in one of the lowest periods of carbon in the atmosphere in not only recorded history, in the history of life existing on the planet. In December of 2022, you told the Washington Post we need to remove 1.6 trillion tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere via direct air capture. The cost for that is about $1,000 per ton or $1.6 quadrillion dollars. Now, you said you didn't know, but since 2015, since the last El Nino, about 500 billion tons have been emitted into the atmosphere. During that same period of time, 2015, if you look at the temperature graph.
So they go to charts behind the congressman, and they go quickly through these charts.
This is from NOAA. The temperature has gone down. Show the next slide. This is from NASA satellite data. Temperature has gone down. You want to have the American taxpayers, my constituents that are having a hard time afford their groceries, pay for a car, buy a new home, spend $1.6 quadrillion to fix a problem that, A, doesn't exist, and as a matter of fact, you might be exacerbating because it's unknown It is unknown at this time the low level that of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere that might actually destroy life, because plant life all depends, as you know, Secretary, plant life all depends on CO2. And when we kill it, then we're done too.
So now we get to the part that the Associated Press says happened.
Yield the balance.
Congressman, let me just say that I don't agree with what you're saying out there for any number of reasons. I don't have time to go into all of them now, but I'll just tell you point blank that the difference between the periods you're looking
not
at
here.
In terms...
Not even here. It's getting to the part she included.
Heat, et cetera, and human input is night and day, number one. Number two, why do you think 195 countries in the world, their prime ministers, their presidents...
Because they're grifting like you are, sir.
That's the part she said happened. And there's the babbling. It was an article custom written to pretend that that debate didn't occur. Now, why would they not want to cover that debate? Because charts and graphs show the temperature decreasing. Because there's very specific numbers of parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And it is carbon dioxide. It's not carbon. Why does that matter? Because we are carbon. And there is a meme, and it is sadly accurate, that we are the carbon they want to reduce. We hear very, very often about abortion being good for a woman's rights and good for women's economics and even good for parents, good for families, good for siblings. Sometimes it's even said it's good for the kid who's being killed. But there's further and more often now the whisperings, and soon it will be the talkings, and then it will be the screamings that it's also good for the climate. Fewer people. Well, this is also being said by people who champion reducing human population by 7.5 billion people. What did God say about our role as married people to be fruitful and multiply? And all the more souls who can return to the Lord if they will, in fact, surrender themselves to the Lord Jesus. And again, I'll mention, because we talked on it very briefly yesterday on the program, Canada has expanded assisted suicide to include young women who are deeply depressed in their 20s. And judges have said, yeah, it's unlikely your life is going to get better, so you can, in fact, kill yourself. But I don't want you to worry. They've removed physicians from this now. There's a death pod that you can purchase and then pass on to your family if you choose not to be buried in it, although you can choose to be buried in it. You get inside and it fills with gas, I think it's nitrogen, that you can't sustain life. And they say you fall asleep and you die. So you can purchase one, have it sent to your house, use it to have your body taken out and be mulched. No, I said mulched. That's happening. There's a mulching factory in Seattle that mulches people's bodies to grow plants for plant-based meals and such. Got it? Or, and if you do that, you choose to be taken out of the canister. That way you can pass this on to your kids. The gift of death to your children. We are the carbon that they want to eliminate. We are the carbon they want to mask. We are the carbon they want to alter. So let's make sure when we talk of global warming, we speak of carbon dioxide, which is what we exhale. Now, the attack on what we exhale has a biological grounding to it. They have convinced themselves and convinced others that the parts of that what you exhale, this that is killing the earth, is killing plants, kills children. We can also talk, though, about the breath of life. We don't exhale, I think, the breath of life, but we have the Holy Spirit within us, and in fact, God did breathe the breath of life into us on every front. When you pick apart at the technocratic medical society or the technocratic bureaucratic society, in the case of John Kerry, every time you pick at it, you'll find another way it stands adverse to God's plan and stands adverse to God's beauty. And here's where this all came together for me this morning. I had an unfightable urge yesterday to go swimming. Now, I'm blessed to live in North Idaho. And we're blessed with some great lakes, wonderful lakes. Now, down the hill from us is a small lake. It's a clean lake, but right now it's got a lot of allergy causing stuff in it. So ragweed. So it's not good for me to swim in right now. But undeniable, I needed to swim, and yet I hadn't been to the gym in a couple of days because I had a very high volume Friday and Saturday, super high volume of work, so I was recovering. And I needed to do something very specific at the gym. So when I did this, and I still had this urge to go swimming. So I finished up the gym work, and I changed into swim trunks, and I drove all of about 10 minutes down the Coeur d'Alene Lake, which is one of God's greatest gifts to us, all of us. I mean, we all have common giftings. I wish you could get to see it. And I went to the lake. It was, you know, a lot of people there, very hot day, 92 degrees. And I was headed to swim, and I heard my name. Turned around and there were some families from the gym, a couple women and their husbands, and they had their kids there on this beach where I used to swim when I was a little kid. And they said, weren't you just in the gym? I said, yeah, it's just either your cool down swim. Sure, it's, you know, swim 800 meters. And I turned out to swim 5 because I was a little tired. But in that water, in that setting, I had such utter joy at the temperature changes. Sometimes the water's warm, sometimes it's cold. At the act of gliding, kind of. I'm not a great swimmer. Great swimmers glide. I don't, through the water. I had that feeling. And then I read about the new Earth and Randy Acorn's description of it, writing for the C.S. Lewis Foundation, that we'll have bodies. I knew that. But he also says we'll have lakes. And I guess I knew that. And mountains to climb. And work to do, and meetings, but all about the kingdom. And I thought, I'll be able to swim forever and hike forever and glorify God forever in this new earth, and He with us. Remember, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I believe God values words. And values us, loves us. This has been A Disciple's View. My name is Todd Herman. God be with you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.